want to appreciate the Sovereign Grace Bible Church for the privilege extended to me to bring the Word of God. I feel so humble and so incompetent, but I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord will bless all of us together. Let us pray. Once again, our Lord, we thank you for that which you have proposed for us in this meeting. We are thanking you, Father, because you have been blessing us and you will continue to bless us. Lord, we pray that as we go through your word again at this point in time, we ask, Lord, that we make our heart open unto your word. We ask, O God, that we implant your word into our hearts. We ask, O God, that we make us to be conscious of the people you want us to be, and that we empower us through your word, that we may fulfill your calling on our lives, even in this world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name I've prayed. By the grace of God, we shall be looking at the topic, the Christian's holy calling. The Christian's holy calling. I believe you have not forgotten the theme of this conference: in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. That's a very deep one. That we are a certain group of people in the midst of the whole humanity, and yet we do not belong to this world. And essentially, the topic that I will be dealing with is to actually make us to see, who are we? What has God done for us? What is expected of us? If truly we are part of the people Jesus Christ is referring to as in the world, but not of the world. We are going to be looking at several passages of the Bible, since this is a Bible conference. I'm trusting God that I'm not going to say much, but that the Bible will speak for itself. For our start, I have prepared for two texts, you know, to be read, but I'm going to limit myself to just only one. As we go along, when we make reference to the other one, but I would like you to write it down. The text that I've chosen for this particular topic, the first one is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14. Just write it down. We are not going to be reading that one here, although later we will make reference to it. But the one that I want us to read from is 1 Peter chapter 1. And we will start from verse 3 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start to read it from verse 3 until we get to the end of the chapter. I begin to read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for his salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know, you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's seeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your soul by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all the flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Amen. I want to believe that we are familiar with the epistle of Apostle Peter. And in case we are not too familiar, Peter was writing to the believers who had been scattered all over the world by the reason of the persecution at that point in time. And if you look at this section of the letter that we have read, you will see that Peter is actually reminding the believers of certain things which they have experienced, and was trying to encourage them and to make them to understand the need for them to stand firm and to stand steadfast in that which they have been called into. And so when you look at that passage, by the grace of God, I think that has summarized everything that I've talked about. As a matter of introduction, I would like to begin my presentation by quickly pointing out two things from what the Bible has revealed. The first thing that I want to point out, which the Bible has revealed concerning human destiny, is the fact that the Bible makes us understand that all men are God's creation. All men are created by God. And when you look at that one, in a sense, in a general sense, we can say that all men belong to God. And when you look at the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, we see that when God was sending Moses to the people of Israel, and he told him that he should tell them to remember that he has only chosen them as his own treasured possession among all peoples. And he emphasized the fact that all the world, all the earth is mine. So generally, it can be said, and the Bible has revealed that one to us, that all men, in a general sense, belong to God. But secondly, we see from the scripture that the Bible has pointedly revealed also that there are some people that belong to God in a particular sense. There are some people that belong to God in a particular way. And looking again at Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, in the Old Testament, we see that the people of Israel, God chose them. God called them from among the people of the world in order to make them his own treasured possession. And for us as believers today, we have a corollary to that. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Apostle Peter was reminding the Christian, and he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you have received mercy." So it is this group of people, this particular group of people that we are talking about. Yes, God owns, you know, the whole world. God created all men. But we are talking about the people that he has redeemed for himself, the people that have understood the work of salvation, the people that has come into the light, that they are his own people. They are the people of God. That's the Bible we want us to really understand. And I want to believe that as we are seated here this morning, we belong to these people. And if you are here, you are not part of us. I'm encouraging you this morning that God is waiting for you. God wants you to come from among the world, that you may be part of the beloved. Amen. Now, when I said that God has a particular people unto himself, you know, some people may find that one too unacceptable. That may sound too harsh to some people, but that is the truth. That is the truth. And I would like us to understand that God choosing some people, God making some people his own, God treating some people as his own people, is not because of color. It's not because of the race somebody has come from. It's not because of the language that somebody, you know, is speaking. It's not because of the economic condition of somebody. No. The reason why we become people of God, the reason why we become separated people unto God, is only because of God's work, which a man has actually understood and has actually aligned him or herself to. Amen. Pastor Kennicott has told us about the love of God. And that love, as many that has been open, you know, to that love, that is the pathway to becoming part of God's family. Now, we are talking about the Christian's holy calling. And by the grace of God, I want to speak under these four headings. First of all, I would like us to look at the privilege or the blessing of partaking or sharing in the Christian calling. That's the first thing that I want us to quickly consider. And then we'll be looking at the implications of the Christian calling for those who are called. What are the implications? If I've been called, if you have been called, what are the implications? We'll be reminding ourselves of these implications. And in the third part, we will look at the hatred or the enmity to be suffered from the world for the sake of the Christian calling. And lastly, we will be considering God's provisions or divine provisions for walking worthy of the Christian calling. Amen. So the first thing, the privilege or the blessing of partaking or sharing in the Christian calling. Now, when we talk about Christian calling, I know that looking at that alone can take a long time. But I just want to summarize what, from my understanding of the scripture, I see as Christian calling. I say Christian calling may be simply summarized as an outcome of God's effort in Christ Jesus through the agency of the Holy Spirit, by which a lost sinner is reconnected back to God to be able to enjoy spiritual fellowship and all the graces of salvation. When we talk about Christian calling, we're talking about all that God has done in Christ Jesus, and which has been applied, you know, to a sinner through the Holy Spirit, so that a lost sinner can be reconnected back to God and enjoy spiritual fellowship and all the graces of salvation. And when we look at that, in line with the scripture that we have read, 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that that's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. It is so sad today, anyway, that the term Christian has become so loose, to the extent that everybody that now wears the title Christian, or that is addressed, everybody is addressed as a Christian. As long as somebody, you know, is maybe going to a gathering, so-called gathering, Christian gathering, everybody believes that he or she is a Christian. Maybe because somebody is bearing the Bible names, because I don't think there are Christian names, I may be corrected. You say, that's a Christian. It has become so loose. There is only one way to become a Christian, and that is by being born again or regenerated by the Holy Spirit. There is no man that can claim to be a Christian until he or she has truly experienced the internal call that brings the Holy Spirit's conviction into the sinful heart. And having responded effectually to that calling. So Christianity is not by natural birth. It's not by marriage. It's not by religious affiliation. Christianity is only by regeneration. If one has not been regenerated, one cannot claim to be a Christian. If somebody is claiming to be a Christian when somebody has not been regenerated, that claim is false. But what are we talking about? I am trying to show us the privilege, the blessing of partaking in the Christian calling. It's a great privilege, as I've said, and it's a great fortune. You know, today when we see people, especially rich people, wealthy people, or people in high places in the world, we think they are fortunate. We think that, oh, God has blessed these ones. Yes, it's a form of blessing, but that cannot be compared to what we are talking about, the Christian calling. And I want you to understand this morning that you may not have anything, but if truly you have been called and you have responded effectually to that call, you are so fortunate. You are so blessed. And you see the way Apostle Peter, you know, put it. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. As you are sleeping, as you are waking, we must always think about it. What a fortune God has bestowed upon us. It's a great blessing. It's a great privilege. And in order to affirm this, let's check some biblical references. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see what Paul says in Ephesians to show us the blessing of Christian calling. Ephesians chapter 1. I will read from verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That is wonderful. That's great. Say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." So Christians are blessed people. Today, people, they define the blessings of God in terms of the tangible things. And it's so unfortunate that, you know, in some quarters, when people gather together like this, what they point to is the building, is the number of cars, is the number of, you know, rich people they have, even in their congregation. But that is not what the Bible is pointing our attention to. Say, we are blessed in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So our blessing is spiritual, not physical. And that is a great blessing. That is a great blessing. Continues, says, "Even as he chose us," look at the blessing, "being chosen of the Lord." Say, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his way, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. To be among the beloved is a thing of joy. It's a thing that should make our head to swell at every time. That, oh, what a wonderful God. You know, we have been told the love of God. Sinners destined to be destroyed. But the love of God will not let us go. That love, you know, find us from that dejected, you know, position. And the love, you know, brought us back unto God. That's a wonderful blessing. Let's consider some scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm still dealing with the privilege or the blessing of sharing or partaking in the Christian calling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. "For we know, brothers, loved by God," that's another blessing, we are loved by God, "that he has chosen you." Loved by God, that he has chosen you. So the point I'm trying to make as we read all this scripture is to be able to see how much God has blessed us. For us to be able to see how fortunate we are to be counted among those who have been called. Let's go to 2 Timothy also. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I will read verses 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 and 9. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Verse 9. "Who saved us and called us to what? A holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." So the Bible says, Paul is saying here that we are saved, you know, by God. We are called to a holy calling. And this is not because we have done anything. Just by his grace. And that's the blessing we are talking about. That's the privilege that we are talking about. We must understand that it's a great privilege, you know, for us. 1 John chapter 3. Very popular scripture. 1 John chapter 3. Look at what Apostle Paul, John also says from verse 1. Says, see, behold, come to think about it. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And he said, and so we are. What a wonderful privilege. See, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So in spite of whatever you may be going through, in spite of whatever may be your circumstance or your challenges in life, the Bible says that, you know, we should not, whenever we remember the privilege that we have in Christ, it should make us forget about all those things. See, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Say, and so we are. Verse 3 says, and everyone, sorry, let me read verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The privilege, the blessing of partaking or sharing in the Christian calling. Let's go to the implications of the Christian calling for the called. Now, most of the time when we are giving opportunity, sometimes we misuse the opportunity. Sometimes we lose the purpose. We lose sight of the purpose for which we have been given, you know, something. Now, yes, we have been blessed. Yes, you know, it is a great privilege. But we must understand that this privilege, it has certain implications for us. It is something that should call us to duty. It is something that is required of us, that we are not just privileged, just, you know, to be telling people we are children of God, we are this and that, but there are certain things that are expected of us, even to show that indeed we have known and we appreciate the privilege that God has given to us. We know that in the Bible there are several terms that are used to designate the Christians. Christians are called saints. Christians are called the elect. Christians are called the called out ones. And all these terms, they are not for decoration. They are to call us to duty. They are to call us to responsibility. So the Christian calling is a holy calling. Amen. The Christian calling is a holy calling. And that's why we are looking at the topic, the Christian's holy calling. So what are the responsibilities? What are the implications of our calling if truly we have been called? First of all, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. When Pastor Joe was ministering last night, he pointed to this scripture. And I still want us to go back to that. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 and 16. When Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he was telling the disciples, as he's reminding us this morning also, say, you are the salt of the earth. That's the first implication that I want to point our attention to this morning. If you have been part of the beloved, if you have been part of those whom God has called, we have the responsibility, the duty of being the salt in the earth. Say, you are the salt. So the question this morning is that, in the place where I am living, in the place where I'm working, am I the salt Am I acting as the salt? And in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. The world is full of darkness. People are groping in darkness. And Christ has chosen you. Christ has chosen me. That we might be what? We might be light. Even in this world. In the book of Romans chapter 12. Apostle Paul also has something to say concerning the implication of our calling. From verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's another implication of our calling. We must always present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Yes, you know, when Christ died, Christ came back, you know, to life. And we have been told that we have died with Christ, but yet we are alive. But we are to live as what? A living sacrifice. And how can we make our life to be a living sacrifice? Say, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. These are the implications, spiritual implications of our calling. We must understand the will of God at every point in time. We must live in the will of God. We must seek to do the will of God. We must do that which is good and acceptable and perfect before our God. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We see again the implications of our Christian calling. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. The Bible says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. If we have been raised with Christ, if we have become part of the family of God, then it must be our priority that we focus our attention where? Above. In the world, but not of the world. Our mind, our thoughts, everything must be centered on things above. Say, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. We're talking about the spiritual implications of our Christian calling. And what are those things that we must be put into death? Says sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And verse 6 says, on account of this, the wrath of God is coming. And verse 7 says, in this you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Say, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Verse 14 says, and above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. As I've told you, I don't have much to say, but just read the scripture, you know, unto us. We see that from the word of God, our calling has implications. And that's what we are trying to look at, to see what are the things that are expected to be produce of our calling. Let me take one more passage of the scripture as we look at the implications of our calling. 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 2, 14 and 15. Sorry, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Pastor Joe has been able to help us to see what worldliness is all about yesterday. What are the things that are in the world that we must not love? So many things. So many things. The practices of the world, the way the world, you know, the world system, we have been told all that yesterday. So that's part of our spiritual implication of our calling. Say, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions. Can you see that? Pride in possessions. The Bible says, for us that have been called of God, we must do away with all of this. And he says, the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the third point. The hatred or the enmity to be suffered from the world for the sake of the Christian calling. You know where we have started? We started by looking at the privilege, the blessing of the Christian calling. But we must understand also that because of the Christian calling, we must expect hatred. We must expect persecution. Persecution will come from the world. Hatred will come from the world. And we must have that at the back of our mind if we are going to fulfill the calling of God upon our lives while we are on this, you know, terrestrial ball. The word of God is not silent about the negative treatment that will be meted out unto those who have been called from the world. Those who have partaken of the Christian calling, the world will not treat them well. And unfortunately today, you know, many people, we think that, okay, because we are Christians and everything, people will be clapping for us. Because we are doing what is, we are doing the will of God. We think that, in our places of work, when they are looking for somebody, maybe they will say, okay, recommend for something. They will say, Christian. No. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be hated for the reason of our calling. And it's important that we understand that. So that when that is coming to us, we will know that, yes, Christ has spoken about it. Let's go back to the Bible. I've told us it's a Bible conference. So I don't have anything to say than to read the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Look at what Jesus Christ says concerning us, those who have been called. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Can you see that? In the world, but not of the world. And we are talking about the people that have been called, the people that have been separated by the law. How are they going to be treated by the world? The world is not going to celebrate them. And this is the word of God. This is the word of Christ directly. It says, you will be hated. You will be persecuted. Because of my name's sake. So brothers, sisters, if you are hated because of your calling, it is not unusual. It means that, yes, you are on course. Amen. Are you on course? May the Lord help us. John chapter 15. John 15, 18 to 21. John 15. Now look at what Jesus Christ says to us. He says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Can we see that? So why is it that, you know, most of the time, when all these things are coming, we think that, oh, why is it, you know, like this? Jesus Christ says that if you are hated, you must understand that, first of all, I have been hated. And the world will continue to hate Christ. Say, if you are of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So hatred from the world is part of our calling. If you are not hated by the world, then it means that you are not of God. If I'm not hated by the world, it means that I am not of God. I belong to the world. I am part of the world. Look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Verse 21. But all these things they will do to you. Why? On account of my name. And I want to stress that one. It is on account of his name. If it is not on account of his name, that's not the trials, the normal trials that we go through and everything. That's not what the Bible is talking about. But the one on account of his name, that we are standing to represent Christ. We are standing for the sake of Christ, for the sake of our Christian testimony. Bible says we will be persecuted. And if we are persecuted, we must know that, yes, that is the way it has been designed. Let's look at John 17 as well. John 17, verse 14. Jesus Christ says, I have given them your word. You remember the prayer of Jesus in the book of John chapter 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. The hatred, the enmity to be suffered. You know, Jesus Christ says that I have not brought peace to the earth. Abby, I've, you know, come, I've brought division. And Jesus Christ is the dividing line between the world and those who are doing his will. Let's look at 2 Timothy as well, chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. See, talking about this issue of the hatred, the enmity, which we must suffer because we are part of those who have been called by the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life, not outside of Christ. Because there are some people today that think that, yes, they are not doing anything that is wrong. They are living good in their own, you know, calculation. But you see the way the Bible has put it. It says, all those who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus, they will be persecuted. They will be persecuted. Maybe there is so much persecution, hatred that is going on in our Christian journey. Yes, Christ has spoken about it. The apostles, they have also spoken about it. Those who have gone ahead of us, they had experienced that. So if we are experiencing this, we should not think that something strange is happening to us. In fact, the book of 1 Peter that we have read, you remember, Peter wrote, you know, to all those Christians. They were scattered. They were being persecuted. And yet, that is not enough reason for them to forsake their calling. So we must not forsake our calling because of the persecution. As a person, by the grace of God, I know what I'm also suffering now. But by the grace of God, as we rely on God, we know that it will lead to joy. Let's look at the last point, which is God's provisions, divine provisions for walking worthy of the Christian calling. God's provisions or divine provisions for walking worthy of the Christian calling. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. What Apostle Paul says. Apostle Paul makes us understand that as Christians, we have a calling. And it is expected of us that we must walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So as believers, since we know that we have been called, you know, by the Lord, it is expected that we must walk worthy of the calling. But for us, we cannot do it on our own. The arm of flesh will fail. And that is why I feel like I should just, you know, bring to our remembrance those things that Christ has placed, you know, for us. Those things that the Bible has recorded for us in order to aid us, in order to help us to be able to walk worthy of our calling. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5. That's where I see something that should be able to help you and me in this calling. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Paul says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the first thing I see, you know, in that passage is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in us as believers. It's God's provision. It's part of God's provision that he has, you know, actually made available to, for us, so that we may walk worthy of our calling. We cannot be Christians without the Spirit of God. And that is what the Bible says, that anybody that does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to Christ. So we must know that we have the Holy Spirit. And as we allow the Spirit of God to perfect his work in our lives on a daily basis, we receive grace, strength, you know, from the Lord on a daily basis, so that we might walk, you know, worthy of our calling. Again, let's go back to John chapter 17. John 17. God is wonderful. And he has given us everything. According to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, he has given us everything that we need for what? Life and godliness. So, Christ has made all the provisions, adequate provisions for us, that we may walk worthy of this calling. John 17 verse 14, which we read the other time. See what Christ says while praying to the Father. As part of the provision that he has made. He said, I have given them your word. The word of God. The scripture is a provision of God that we may walk worthy of this Christian calling. You know, yesterday, Pastor Joe was talking about the need for us to acquaint ourselves, you know, with the word of God, understanding the scripture. Because without the scripture, yes, it's a Pastor Okoro, without the scripture, we cannot do what is right. And that's the provision that Christ has made available, you know, for us, that we may be able to walk according to the calling that we have been called into. So, the word of God is there. And it is for the sake of the word of God that we have gathered together like this so that we can remind ourselves again what the word of God has recorded for us. In Titus chapter 2 also, there is something again that I see that should be able to help us in order to walk worthy of our calling. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The word of God says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Waiting for our blessed hope, the hope of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is something again that should motivate us, that should aid us as we look forward to the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that this world is just, it's not our home. So everyone that has been called, everyone that has become part of this calling knows that, look, I am here temporarily. The hope of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ is a provision that should be able to help us to walk worthy of our calling. Whatever we are facing here, whatever we are going through here, we must understand that it's just for a little time. It's just for a while. Christ is going to come. Christ will appear one day, very soon. And that's why Titus, you know, Paul was saying to Titus, says, waiting, waiting. Are you waiting for a blessed hope? That's something that should encourage our hearts. Say, waiting for a blessed hope. And what is that blessed hope? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Another thing that I want to point our attention to is the sure reward for living the life of faith in Christ Jesus. There's going to be a reward. Even though not by our own power, but according to what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, when the Bible is presenting to us those who have walked ahead of us, those who have, you know, gone through this journey, the Christian calling that we are talking about. In verse 6, the Bible says that God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Even though we have not done anything to deserve this blessing, but yet we have been promised, we have seen that we are still going to be what? Be rewarded. I think that should motivate us to walk worthy of our calling. And lastly, in that John chapter 17 again, I see something that I want to bring to our notice. John 17, 15. Jesus Christ says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You know, in the world that we are living in, the world is full of evil. But I see God's provision, which is assurance of God's protection. That even in this evil world, we are what? We are protected. We are protected. And that is one thing that many people don't understand, that is making them to run from pillar to post. That is one thing that many people don't understand, that when cockroach is flying you know, in their room, they are running helter-skelter because they don't know that they are protected. Of course, maybe because they don't even know Christ. They are only mere, you know, religious. But if you have been part of this calling, you must understand that you are protected. And that is part of the prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them. As I conclude, I want us to quickly look at just two more scriptures, and then we will close. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The mindset that we should have if we are part of this calling. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. What should be our mindset? That is what I'm closing with. The mindset of those who have been called in the world. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So, as Christians, as those who have been called, we must, you know, have this mindset that we do not belong to this place. Our citizenship is in heaven. No matter what may be our social condition on earth, whether you are down there or you are high there, you must know that we don't have any abiding city here. That should be our mindset. And finally, 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. Peter says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. What do I want to bring out, you know, from that place? We must understand, we must have the mindset that we are sojourners on earth. Every day, every moment, every minute. While Pastor Joe was talking yesterday, yes, we can be engaged in certain things in the world, working and everything, but even at in our places of work, we must know that we are what? Sojourners. May the Lord help us. Let's bow our head. I just want you to pray over the word of the Lord that has been read to your hearing. Christian calling, Christian holy calling. Have you been called truly? And have you responded effectually? If that is your Lord, I want you to thank God. If you are here, you know that you have not been regenerated. You are not part of this call. Please, I beg of you today, pray to God that the Lord will bring you into Christ. As people of God, living as sojourners on earth, let's pray that the Lord will strengthen us more and more, that we will not fail God in this blessed hope that he has called us into.